Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. God, may you just make this place a holy place. May you guide us and lead us. May you open our eyes to see your truth through your word. May you open our ears to hear your truth and to receive it with humble hearts. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said,
amen,
amen, amen. How's everybody doing this morning? Great, good, awesome, awesome. I'm excited. This is round two for me, so whoop, whoop, you're still here. Thank you. I appreciate it. a couple of things I wanted to address before I get into it is if it gets too hot, if people start doing this, Dana, you have full permission to push the button down, okay? Because I saw last week, I was like, I thought it was just hot in here for me because of the lights, but I went down the steps, and it was hot out there, so apologies for that. And then the second thing is I mispronounced a word a couple of times last week, and some of you might know, so it's kind of funny. And I apologize, I am still learning to read, I'm going to be honest with you. Thank you. And Morgan, I told Morgan, I was like, man, she's like, it's okay. I was like, well, she's like, you just make a joke about it. And I was like, all right, well, I'm still on a second grade level, so if you want to teach me how to read, that'd be great. Thank you. So anyway, and the funny thing is that God is making me use this word again. So it's even better. So let's just get into it. I'm so glad you're here. I hope you had a joyful and restful weekend. It's just awesome to gather. You know, I think sometimes we take it for granted. Sometimes we forget why we gather. Sometimes we just kind of like, hey, it's a thing I got to check off. But as we will see, this is important. To encourage one another, to love one another, to pray for one another, to mourn with one another, right? So this is important. And I'm excited to share because we've been talking about the abundant life, right? And so this is the last festival that we're going to be talking about. It's the Festival of Tabernacles or Booth. And what's it called? Like, it was a moment, right? These festivals are on purpose. It was for the Israelites to gather and to remember who God was, his faithfulness, his goodness, his holiness, and to remember where we stand, right? If we were honest with ourselves, we could never, ever be holy. We could never, ever be in his presence because of our sin. But God is so good and God is so great that he made these festivals to remind us of his mercies and of his goodness and of his holiness so that we could repent and embrace his presence, right? And so, right, the first festival, the Sabbath, the Passover, the offering of the first fruits, the Festival of Weeks, the Festival of Trumpets, and then the Day of Atonement, what we talked about last week, and today, the Festival of the Tabernacles or Booths. And the cool thing is that there's seven of them. Right, as I've been learning about the history, it's been pretty cool. Obviously, I took Bible classes. I was young. I was just trying to get an A or a B, okay? So it gave me, I learned something. But you know, it's just kind of, you got to remember. And the cool thing is that God knew that. God knows that about us, that we can learn something and forget it just like that. We can receive something and take advantage of it just like that. And so these festivals were intentional. And so this last one was on the seventh day, on the seventh month, on the 15th day, and it was a week long. That's what I'm talking about. Like, hey, you get to just hang out with your friends, your family, eat good food, dance, whatever, and remember why you get to do those things. Because God is so good and so merciful. And so this feast is symbolic, all right? So they used to make these booths, right? And so it was a moment to remember the Exodus, right? The walking in the wilderness. And so they make this booth, right? And they're like one side, two side, three sides. And then they get these awesome little fruits and palm trees. And one of the people that I was learning from, the commentators, was like, hey, you get to see through the little leaves the stars. And then you see the fruit, this beautiful fruit. It reminds you of the Garden of Eden. And it was just like, oh, just this picture that God is painting. Like, hey, you're not where you're supposed to be, but we're going to get there, right? This is the reminder of like how things are supposed to be, that I'm supposed to be in the midst of your presence and this beautiful garden, beautiful fruit, right? And so we are reminded, and it's been pretty cool to learn that they stayed outside. So that if you have a house, right, they would stay outside in this booth and be reminded that God provides, that God is faithful, and that God is good. And so we're going to be in Leviticus again, whoop, whoop, my favorite, 33 through 37. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to get into it. It says this: "The Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's festival of tabernacles begins, and it lasts 7 days. The first day is a sacred assembly." You're welcome, just in case I forgot. I promise you, I struggle with that word. Thank you. "Sacred assembly. Do no regular work. For 7 days, present food offerings to the Lord, and on the 8th day, hold a sacred assembly and present a food offering to the Lord. It is the closing special assembly. Do no regular work. These are the Lord's appointed festivals, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies for bringing food offerings to the Lord. The burnt offerings and the grain offerings, sacrifices and drink offerings required for each day. These offerings are in addition to those for the Lord's Sabbaths, in addition to your gifts and whatever you have vowed, and all the freewill offerings to give to the Lord." I don't know if you caught it, but there was three times, sacred assembly, sacred assembly, sacred assembly. A holy time to assemble, to gather together. And we have to be reminded that this should be a sacred assembly. Whatever happened this week, whatever happened yesterday, you are to gather. Why? So we can worship the Lord Almighty. To remind each other that there is a God who is loving and forgiving and merciful. To remind each other and to encourage each other. Hey, God loves you. But there's also a flip side, to hold each other accountable. And people don't want to hear that. Hey, you had a rough week. What happened? Let me hold you accountable. I struggled with this sin this week. Okay, hey, let us pray together. Let us hold each other accountable. And let us repent together, right? Let us mourn together. We have to hold each other accountable. This is what the church is to do, right? We encourage, yes, let's do it. But let us hold each other accountable as well. Just like a family. Just like a family. If Morgan does not hold me accountable, man, the family can crumble. If I don't hold Morgan accountable, the family will crumble. And we see it in our world today. When we don't hold each other accountable. And the beautiful thing is that God's gifted us, has given us also the gift of mercy and showing each other mercy. Right? Some people go too far and like, hey, blah, 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 blah. You never make a mistake. You shouldn't make a mistake. Hey, show them the mercy. And then some of us show too much mercy and don't say, hey, well, you should repent. You should ask for forgiveness. One of the commentators said this: "It was to remind themselves that the blessing of redemption and bountiful provision they enjoyed were gracious gifts from their loving King." These festivals were a gracious gift. And so as we gather, we have to remind ourselves that the abundant life comes in sacred assemblies. That we're here today to worship God Almighty and to love one another, to worship the Lord and to be reminded that He has forgiven us, to be reminded that He is our hope and our strength. This is what we come here. When you're singing up here, when y'all are singing down there, man, we are here to worship. Man, great are you, Lord. Ooh, man, that sounds good. All right. Leslie, I'm coming. Just kidding. I know I cannot sing, so you don't have to lie. But we see that in Leviticus. But then we see it again in Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds. We hold each other accountable to do good deeds, to show forgiveness, to reconcile relationships. Because what did God do through Jesus Christ? He reconciled man to God Himself. Not giving up meeting together. Don't give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you do see the day approaching. The day is coming when Jesus will come back. We got to be reminded. He can come back right now. We got to be reminded. He can come back tomorrow. And man, are we ready? Are we excited? Have we continued to gather and loved one another? Have we continued to gather and reconciled with one another? Because let's be honest, we don't always get along. You do something that annoys somebody. You might be angry at somebody for something they don't know, or they might know. And yet we are to gather and to have a conversation. A holy conversation. Hey, this is how you offended me. And the offendee should show mercy to the one bringing that. And they are to reconcile. That's how it all began. We were showing mercy when nobody else was showing mercy. We were reconciling when nobody else was reconciling. And that's the gift of God. That's the gift of the holy assembly, the sacred assembly, that we would come together and know your weaknesses and your flaws and still love you. That's the beautiful thing about marriage. Man, Morgan knows my weaknesses and my flaws, and yet she still loves me. Parents, you know your kids' weaknesses and flaws, and you still love them. And as a church, as a sacred assembly, we must do the same thing. It's difficult. It's hard. It's hard to be vulnerable. It's hard to be real because you don't know if somebody's going to receive that. But today, let it be a reminder that we are to reconcile, that we are to show mercy and grace, and that we are to speak truth to one another. And repent. Hey, you offended me. Okay, I'm sorry. It might not be the sorry that you want to hear. It's just like, hey, I'm sorry. You did your part. And God will work in their heart. Or God will work in your heart. Most of the times, both. And so for us, we are to gather as a sacred assembly. The abundant life comes from this sacred assembly. Leviticus 23, 39 through 44 continues. It says this: So the beginning of the 15th day of the seventh month, after you have gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festival to the Lord for 7 days. The first day is a day of Sabbath rest, and the eighth day also is a day of Sabbath rest. And the cool thing, little side note real quick, the cool thing about the Sabbath rest is that it was a reminder that He would always provide. You are to do no work. You're not to gather. It was a reminder that His provision and He was faithful. Continue, sorry. And on the first day, you are to take branches from luxurious trees, from plants, willows, and leafy trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. Celebrate this festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Celebrate it in the 7th month. Live in temporary shelters for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters, so your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in temporary shelters when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So Moses commanded the Israelites and appointed the festivals of the Lord. Man, to rejoice before the Lord our God for 7 days. I don't know if you've ever been to camp, but camp, you rejoiced. And it was awesome. I miss going to camp. I miss seeing the students worship. I miss seeing the friendships, the bond. I miss seeing just a transformation in their lives. And I'm thinking of that when I think 7 days. I'm like, whoo, you're tired after 7 days. So that's why he gave you an 8th day to rest. But it's awesome. And I could tell many stories about camp because they were sacred moments for me. Moments that I'll never forget. Moments that God has gifted me with to keep on going when days are rough. Moments to remind me that he has been faithful when I've been weak. I shared this story last year. So if you remember it, awesome. If you don't, I'm going to share it again because it's just been a sacred moment for me. A moment that I will never forget, just like moments in camp. This moment was just so special to me. Last year, we went to the beach, like we always do, and it was awesome. It was great. And there was this moment where I had Camila, little angel, little princess Camila, who is becoming very feisty. And we were at the beach. It was after dinner time, so like that's my favorite time to go. We usually don't go after dinner time because we're just exhausted because we've been at the beach all day. Anyway, so we went after dinner. I'm like, hey, let's just go have some fun. The weather's nice. There's less people. The water's actually warm. And so we were walking, and it was a low tide. And so we had to walk a little further, but there's always little pools. And so we walked through the pools and all that. And she wanted to get to the waves because Big Brother loves jumping the waves. You have to grab him, and as soon as the wave comes in, you have to jump. And he will stay there for hours. Hours. I'm like, dude, is there nothing else that you would want to do besides jump these waves? And he says, no. And so Camila wanted to do the same thing. She's like, Daddy, I want to jump the waves. I was like, okay. She's a little lighter, so that's nice. And so, we start jumping the waves. And then we kind of walk back. There was like some people over there catching some fish. And so we went to go see them. And then we came back. And she just, I was holding her hand, right? Because I didn't want, the waves are huge to her, right? She's like this big. Waves like this big, maybe. A little exaggeration, but they're big, right? Compared to her. Like they can literally take her out. And I was holding her. And I'll never forget, she just let go. And she just started walking. She didn't walk too far. And I just remember God saying to me and speaking to me in that moment, hey, you see how brave she is? You wonder why? Because she knows you're there. And again, this was a season of healing for me. And he was just like, I've been there this whole time for you. I didn't want to let go of his hands. I didn't want to take a step of faith anymore. I was scared. And this little girl reminded me how God has always been there. He would never leave me nor forsake me. There have been things that I've done that have separated me from Him. And yet God has always been there. And just like that little girl was walking, being brave and strong and courageous, He said, "Hey, Gerardo, it's time. It's time to remember who I am and what we've been through and how I've blessed you and how I've provided for you and how I've disciplined you and corrected you." And for some of us, we have to remember those sacred moments. You have a sacred moment that God has given you. And there's plenty of them. We can read this. Look at this book. There are sacred moments in this book to remind you of God's faithfulness, of God's goodness. But there's also sacred moments in your life that God is trying to remind you. Hey, you remember that one time at the beach? Yeah. Hey, you remember how I told you I'm here, I'm with you, I'm for you, I'm in you? Yeah. Okay. Get back up. Take another step. I don't know what your sacred moment is. For a lot of us, there's a moment where we went into the water. Man, and you came out, you felt alive. You felt this joy. You felt this peace. You felt this forgiveness. And then life happens, as it does. There's sin in this world. But remember that water moment where you let go and God said you are a new creation. Woo! You are a new creation. And you have the gift of the Holy Spirit inside of you, living and breathing and guiding and teaching and correcting and rebuking and giving you power. That's your sacred moment. If that's the only one you have, amen, hallelujah, because that's a sacred moment where God redeemed you and called you and said, "You are my son and you are my daughter and I love you." Don't forget that moment. What a sacred moment. I'm here to remind you. What is your sacred moment? What is that moment where God spoke to you to remind you you are valuable, you are beautiful, you are strong, you are brave because of the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, because of the water, because you were dead to yourself and you rose new in Christ Jesus. You are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. You have the power by the Holy Spirit to say no to sin. You have the power by the Holy Spirit to cast out demons. You have the power by the Holy Spirit to live a holy and righteous life. Remember your sacred moments. They are gifts from the Lord. What a gift. Be reminded today. Close your eyes and say, "God, remind me of those moments." Yesterday, I was talking to Morgan and we were talking about just how God has been so faithful through it all. It's no secrets, right? We are going on a new journey and it's scary. And I don't know what the protocol is or HR or whatever, but, you know, taking this next step for me, I don't know how much I can share or what I should share. I really don't. But it's scary. And I have to be reminded every time how God has been faithful. Even when we didn't know what was going to happen, He has been faithful. And the reason we can be reminded of these moments, the reason why they are so sacred, is because of the gift that we have received. In Deuteronomy 16, 13 to 15, it says this: celebrate the festivals of tabernacles for 7 days. Again, this is just a reminder. You see how many times he's repeating this? After you have gathered the produce from your threshing floor and your wine press, be joyful at your festival. You, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites, the foreigners, the fatherless, the widows who live in your towns, for 7 days celebrate the festival to the Lord your God at the place the Lord will choose. For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all your work of your hands, and your joy will be complete. The abundant life comes in a sacred gift. And his name is Jesus. Because of Jesus, we get to see these scriptures and be reminded of God's goodness and faithfulness and holiness. One of the commentaries wrote this: the Lord instituted these times to help the Israelites remember his power and his grace, enabling them to respond to him with appropriate dependence, obedience, and worship. These festivals were on purpose so that we could remember his power and his grace, so that we would learn how to respond to a holy and almighty God. What a gift. We all want the abundant life, and we can have it. If you don't follow Jesus, if you don't know who Jesus is, if you haven't accepted Jesus, you can have it. He gives it to you. For those of us who have done those things, remember that you have the abundant life, that you can live in this world with all the chaos that's going on, with all the scary things happening, with all the rumors of wars and wars that are happening, we can live an abundant life knowing that the kingdom of heaven is here already by the power of the Holy Spirit. That though we are not there yet into perfection, to holiness, we are his witnesses of the kingdom that is to come. We, as a sacred assembly, get to show heaven on earth. We are called as witnesses to display heaven on earth. This joy that surpasses all understanding, this peace that surpasses all understanding, this love that is unbreakable. Man, we are called to do that. You are called to do that. You are called to show people God's goodness and God's grace and God's redemption and mercy. That's a big, tall task. Praise God for the sacred gift of the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us, because we will fall. But just like in Proverbs, the righteous may fall 6 times, but on the 7th time, they will rise. We will rise. We will. That's a promise. The abundant life comes in a sacred gift. John 10, 7 through 11 says this: therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to me. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, that they may have an abundant life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Praise God that Jesus laid down his life for you and for me so that we could have the abundant life. Now again, do not get it twisted. Jesus also said there'll be times of trouble. There'll be times where they're hard. But take heart. Let us take heart, for he has overcome the world. There's another sacred moment I want to share before we finish here. It was this gift that God gave me in Cruz. So I went to the beach again. For some reason, the beach is our place. And Cruz wanted to go crab hunting. Just like a normal dad, you're like, I know what I'm doing. Give me the net. Give me a flashlight, because that's all I knew. And I was like, all right, buddy, we're going to get some crabs. I get down there. We don't see a single crab. I'm like, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm like, man, I'm embarrassing myself in front of my son. And so we started, I'm like, okay, we started up top. Apparently there's no crabs up there. So we started getting to like the line, where the water hits. I don't know what it's called, but you know what I'm talking about. So I was like, all right, we're just gonna go over here. And then we started seeing these little tiny crabs. And I was like, hey, buddy, we got some crabs. Like these, the net was like, they could go through the net. It was that bad. And so, we started seeing one, and then we saw one. I'm like, this is massive. And, of course, I was not prepared. I had my shoes on, and like a forgetful dad I was like, running. I was like, oh, the ocean's over there. I was like, never mind. And so I ran back because I was like, I didn't get my shoes wet. So I had to take my shoes off. And so anyway, we kept going. We couldn't find any more crabs. And at the very end, I was like, all right, buddy, I think we're done. You know, we found some. They're little ones, but they're okay. He's like, Daddy, just one more time. I was like, all right, sounds good. I was like, maybe we should just pray about this one. It's like, we need help. And I'm just trying to show my son, like, there's nothing too small for God. And in showing my son that, I'm learning that. There's nothing too small for God if it's in his will, right? So I was like, God, Cruz, let's pray. And I was like, God, if you would just give us a crab, that'd be awesome. Just one crab, that's all we ask. If it's in your will. If not, we had a blast. Thank you. And so we just said, amen. So we go walking down the shoreline and then go back all the way back. And I was like, all right, buddy, I'm sorry, man. We had a good time. We caught some crabs, but, it wasn't meant to be. So we're walking up to the pier, right, the walkway. And, we're just walking up, and, it's not a coincidence. You have the flashlight, I look, and there's this crab. All right, Cruz will say it was this big. It's this big. And I'm like, what do I do? Like, I don't know. He's going to run. So, I'm trying to think through this process. And I just got him. No, I didn't kill him. There's a net. The net. I got the net. That would have been awful for him. So I grabbed him. I got him. And I was like, oh, we got this big old crab. And I will never forget this moment. We just look up in the sky. We're like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. What a God we serve. That He would give us these moments. That He'd give us people and assembly. And that He'd give us the ultimate gift in Christ Jesus. Why would we not follow Him? Why would we not serve Him? Why would we not humble ourselves? John 6:35 says this, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And we are reminded of communion. That we get to eat this bread, this manna. And we get to drink this juice, this wine or grape juice. And be reminded of the sacred gift of God. And every time we take it, should be a sacred moment saying, "Thank you, Father, for the gift of your Son. Thank you, Father, for the gift of your Holy Spirit who lives inside of me, who's transforming me and renewing my mind so that those around me can know who you are and how good you are." May we walk out today reminded of the gift of Christ. Let us take this today and give thanks and praise and rejoice in the gift of Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your reminders through your word, God, and through our life. These sacred moments, these sacred assemblies, God, to hold one another, to love one another, to encourage one another. And most of all, God, thank you for the sacred gift of Jesus and your Holy Spirit until you come again. God, may we be reminded with this bread and this juice of your love and of your power and of your mercy. May we take it and rejoice in you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. If you need assistance with getting one, I would be glad to bring it to you. Just raise your hand. If not, I'll be on this right side. Jim will be on this left side. And we'll be glad to pray for you as well.